Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
And once you're at 2 Timothy, just go back to 1 Timothy. Well, some people might know where 2 Timothy is, you know. 1 Timothy chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 2 says, first of all then, I suggest to you, actually that's not what he says. He says, I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings, for presidents, for all those who are in authority over us. I mean, you know, that pretty much sums up every facet of government that there is, right? He says, I urge you with entreaties and prayers and petitions that thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and in dignity. This is good. Everybody say, this is good. And it's acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're going to do that right now. If you've had an earful last week, I'm sure you've heard all kinds of things going on with the government and the surrounding peripheral agencies, but how many know that we have a right to stand for righteousness being established in that arena? And so we need to lift up our president, that God will surround him with the voice of righteousness so that he'll have accurate direction on what to go, where to go, what to do, and how to proceed from here. I mean, I know the scriptures doesn't say anywhere that when someone in government who's opposed to your perspective, if he is, you're supposed to cut and run. I said, how many know it doesn't say that? So we're going to be a blessing, because how many know the word says you're called to be a blessing, right? So we're going to bless our leaders. We're going to bless the people that would surround them, that God will give them wisdom, and that righteousness will prevail in the White House down to the courthouse. I know this isn't very popular because the common voice says they don't stand for what we stand for, so let them sink. But you can't find that in Scripture. Do you think the Roman government supported Paul? No. But yet he turns around and says, I entreat that all men pray for all those in authority over us. So let's just join the hands of the person across the aisle from you if you're on the end there. And let's just lift up our president and our nation and our leaders and the government entities, that righteousness will be established in those hallways and wisdom will prevail from the mind of the Lord. Father, we just thank you for the ability and the opportunity to stand on your word. And we thank you for our leaders. We thank you for those that are in leadership above us. And we ask that you'll surround them with wisdom, that they'll have a voice, they'll have ears to hear and eyes to see, that unrighteousness will not attach itself to them and will not bring them down, but yet righteousness will raise them up, and they'll take a stand for those things that are right in the eyes of you. And we just thank you for that your righteousness will be established in every government entity in this nation, whether it's the U.S. Treasury on down or those in leadership in foreign affairs. We thank you, Jesus, that your righteousness will be established, that men and women will have our ears to hear and a heart to know what to do and where to go. And that all of this wickedness and things that would try to attach itself to this nation, to bring it to its knees and destroy it, we speak to you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and your assignment has been broken. And you will not touch this nation. Because this nation belongs to Yeshua. And we just thank you for that. Father, we thank you that you give us insight and wisdom on how to honor our leaders, how to come beside them, lift them up, raise them up, and show them value while walking on the path of righteousness. And we just thank you for that. Your word declares that if any man lacks wisdom, that you give it to him liberally. All he has to do is ask. And so, Father, we ask, and we thank you. Those that are unwilling to go the direction that you have in your heart and what you're all about and the righteous step and say the righteous word, those that refuse to go that direction, they'd be removed from authority and influence, and they'd be replaced with those who are willing to speak what you want spoken and to walk where you want, what you want walked. And I just thank you, Lord, that this nation's days, and I don't mean this as a cliche, but these nation's days are ahead of us. That darkness will not latch onto this country and will not bring it down. And we just thank you for it, Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everybody agreed with that said, amen. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We started a series a number of weeks ago. We call it the core values. They are the core values of this church, but more importantly, they're really the core values of a new creation believer. And I'll tell you, I'm excited to see these core values take root in a culture, because I'll be honest with you, I think we've run on autopilot long enough. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner, but I even heard a pastor the other day. He was being interviewed by somebody, and he said, you know, we've got to find a way to communicate the gospel that's not the same old, same old. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's basically what he was saying, is we've got to come to the place. How many know God is a big God? And how many know Jesus knows more than four verses? We've got to come to the place where the worst case, if we're not going to demonstrate the gospel, then we've got to have wisdom and insight from the Spirit of God on how to communicate the gospel. It's not the same old way. But we're talking about demonstration. We just came off a series of teaching on the kingdom of God. And what we have to understand as human beings, folks, is a human being was created to live at a certain level. I'm going to show you some verses today. I know I may have mentioned them in the past, but I want you to see them in your Bible, and I want them to sink in. Because when we're dealing with our core values of how we exist as a new creation, the reason Jesus did what he did, and he's raised from the dead, and the reason he's alive, do you realize that there's a man that's God? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever stop to think about the awesomeness. There's a man that's God. And that man that's God, I mean, I know he enjoys a certain level of existence with Father. Are you a man or a woman? I use the word man in general, ladies, so I mean you can say, yes, I am. Then we're created to live the same level. Because there's a man that's God. And what we've got to understand is, because there's a man at the right hand of Father, and this is what Paul wrote in one of his letters to Timothy, he says there's a man at the right hand of God, the man, Christ Jesus. As long as there is a man there, then there is a species of man, just like him. Because that's what he paid the price for. Do you understand that? He paid the price for that species of man. So when the word says, that in 2 Corinthians 5 here, when it says in verse 14, it says the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, or having come to, or being of the settled opinion of, how many know his opinion was accurate according to the Spirit of God? He said, having come to the conclusion that since one died for all, therefore all died. Now let me ask you a question. Again, rhetorical question really, but I want to put it out there. Does this verse say that he died for all Christians? No, he died for all men. You sure about that? You sure you want to commit to that? Do you want to commit to that answer? That he died for all men? I will. Okay. So he died for all men. We're going to remember that thought in a minute. And it says, therefore all died, and he died for all so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And then verse 16, the common verse we all know. Therefore, now if anyone, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Now my margin says, between the two columns of verses, with all the different verses and scriptures and references and all that, it says by what he is or what he is in the flesh. So, you could read verse 16, therefore we recognize no one by what he is in the flesh. We recognize no one by what he is in the flesh. And we talked about this, the number one core value that we started with is to see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. How many had natural parents? So we got no aliens in here, it was good, everybody's got natural parents. You came from a natural offspring somewhere. I don't even know who mine are. I mean, I know my mom, but I don't know my dad. But I know that I wasn't hatched under a rock. And I wasn't born in a nest someplace. I know I was actually, you know, the product of a man and a woman. So, but this verse says that we're to know nobody after who they are in the flesh. Doesn't that start with you? I mean, is the scripture what it is, or does that one not count? So the number one core value of you as a new creation is you see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. And we've talked about that. All of those lessons, I say lessons, all those messages on our website. If you haven't got them, just go get them. They just download for free, really easy, just touch a button. But there's more information, I can't get into it today. But so the number one core value is to see yourself in the new creation. And we talked about this, believers are those who choose to see themselves as a new creation, not merely just forgiven, or dragging a past around, but we're free to accomplish and be who we were created to be with no baggage and no excuses. And from that comes the second core value, which is She used to see other people with no deficiency. She used to see other people with no deficiency. This is a tough one, guys, because most of us haven't even learned how to see ourselves with no deficiency. When if you spend enough time with Daddy, Father will continually communicate to you and impress upon you that if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you have His nature on the inside of you, that He sees you holy and blameless. So we talked about the fact that one died, speaking of Jesus, died for all, and He's not just talking about Christians, and therefore all died, right? So now go over to Colossians. Because we're talking about the second core value, which is to see no deficiency in other people. And I want to show you something today that if this doesn't make it easier for you to see no deficiency in people, because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the reason we have a challenge not seeing deficiency in other people is because we don't know they have any other identity. We only see them through our natural eyes and what our natural experiences have been. But let me ask you this. Did the earth exist before you got here? How do you know that? Just because somebody told you? What if they lied? What if it only showed up 20 minutes before you arrived? And all the stuff you see is all just propaganda film and it really never existed. The 60s were never here. Well, I guess unless you lived in the 60s, then it was. Because I was born in 64. So they had to exist for somebody. So we know that before you got here, there was something. How about before there was something? Was there something? Before the earth was here, was there God? And He had a particular thought process, right? Or did He just come up with this after man showed up? And we got to come up with a plan, guys. So your perspective needs to be bigger than just what you put a hold or put together as you landed on the ball and ended up here and you've lived your life, right? God's bigger than what we think He is as far as what we've experienced in this planet Earth. Because He was here long before the earth was here, right? Okay, so now what did 2 Corinthians 5 said that one died, speaking of Jesus, for all, and then all died, right? So Colossians, look at Colossians chapter 3. See, we read these verses and we read them in the context of Christians, which is true, but I ask you again, did Jesus only die for Christians? See, I'm going to continue to press our thought processes in this direction because they need to be pressed. Because there are some things that are hidden in your scriptures here that he plainly wrote, and I'm going to show you some things today, that if we would just have His perspective on things, it would be a lot easier to see people around us with no deficiency. Because you stop seeing them in their natural identity and you start seeing them from the identity of the work of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 says, therefore you've been raised up with Christ. Since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He said, set your minds on the things which are above, not on the things that are on the earth. And then look at verse 3. For you have died. Okay, now what did this is Paul that wrote this too, right? He wrote this and he wrote 2 Corinthians 5. He's talking to the church in Colossae, but he's saying you have died. But in all actuality, what did he say to the Corinthian church? He says, all have died, right? Not just all Christians, every human being is breathing. Jesus died for all of them, therefore all of them died. Okay, now look what happens as a result of them being dead. He says, you died and your life is what? Hidden. The word with is together with Christ in God. Everybody say this. My life is hidden together in Christ with God. But guess what? That verse is also speaking about any other human being around you. Okay, I'll teach on so you don't think I'm teaching heresy. Go over to chapter 1 of Colossians. Same letter. Look at verse 15. This is speaking of Jesus, right? The same one that we just talked about in 2 Corinthians 5 and the same one that we just talked about in chapter 3, verse 3. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. Did you know that man was created by the person that we refer to as Jesus? So how many knows he knows the DNA of man? It says, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Look at verse 17. He is before all things. He is before all things. Before there was an earth, there was a second member of the Godhead, and we call him Jesus. Right? Have I lost anybody yet? He said in his letter, he said, in 2 Corinthians, he said, all died because he died. And as a result of all dying, he said in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 3, if you're dead, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me ask you a question. Was your life hidden in Christ in God before you existed? Well, I mean, it says it right here that he was before all things. Okay, now go over to, let's just see. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 17 says, if you address as father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, conduct yourself in fear or reverence during the time of your stay on earth. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Verse 20, for he was foreknown when he came into the earth. Is that what it says? No, it says he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, and they called him holy and unblemished. Do you see that? He was the Lamb unblemished and spotless, and he was known before there was an earth, from the foundation of the world. Right? Back over to Colossians chapter 1. All things were created by that holy and unblemished one, and he preceded all things. That would go, speak to the before the foundation of the world. But chapter 3 says that if you're dead, your life is hidden in Christ in God. So now go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. See, if you have Father's perspective on this thing is huge. And there's a reason why he tells us in, by the Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians 5 to know no man after his natural man. Because how many understand that anything that a man would be in his natural man, the natural system that's in the earth when he was born, created that. Right? I mean, Abby's a teacher. I hear you're a really good one. But you've seen kids progress, and you've seen them grow up, and you've seen that whole process. What I said, Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Says this. Well, verse 3 says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as, or even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." He chose us in the holy and unblemished one before the foundation of the world. Now let me ask you a question. Is he talking just about Christians? He's talking about mankind. And he goes on to say, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy and blameless before him. In his presence he chose, because our lives are hidden in Christ, in God, and he was before all things, and he was the holy and unblemished one. Therefore, God made a choice before the foundation of the world that all of humanity would stand holy and blameless in his sight. Because their identity was not going to be what the natural system was going to make them. Can you get this? Are you getting this? How many know that these verses are in every person's Bible on the planet? But did you know that as I grew up in church my whole life, and not one single person connected A, B, C, or D for me? It's a shame, and I'm not gonna curse the darkness, but I'll just say this. It's a shame that we haven't understood, being the ones that are new creations, the reality of what 2 Corinthians 5:16 was saying. To know no man after the flesh. It says, old things have passed away. The old things that have passed away is the old system that a human being was functioning by. Being led by what their eyes were seeing, what their ears were hearing, what their emotions were telling them, the way a natural man functions. That old system is obsolete. Because now with the new creation man, all things become new. The new system that is in place is you as a human being, you are a spirit. You're to live from that place. Because your spirit has a connection with the spirit of Father. And you'll see things that natural men can't see. And you're to see people from Father's perspective of what they look like when their lives are hidden in him. Not what a natural system pressed them into. So, does everybody get that? So go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm telling you, these verses are so revolutionary now that I read them unreligiously. First Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 12. It says, well, verse 11 says, now may our God and Father himself, Jesus our Lord, direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you, everybody say cause, cause you to increase and abound in his love for one another. Notice he doesn't just stop there. What's the next words? And for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts, what? Without blame, in holiness, in his presence. See, I used to think this verse was talking about the fact that you had to do a certain thing and be a certain way and you had to act a certain way so that you established some kind of, so that you earned some level of blamelessness and holiness in the sight of God. When the reality is that what this verse is actually saying is, he's the one that causes you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. And in the process of him causing you to abound in love for everyone and those around you and all people, he actually establishes in your heart a place of blamelessness. In other words, what? As you're living in the identity of who you really are, holy and blameless in his sight, because your life has been hidden in him before the foundation of the world, because he was before all things, and since he came and paid the price for all the natural fall, it's really kind of cool. It's like the Father didn't even acknowledge that the darkness had any effect. Sent Jesus in, paid the price, paid the lien that was against the whole human race, 3 days later raised him up and kept on trucking. And the best that darkness could do would be try to muddy the waters and get people not to understand what he did. So they could still keep him in a complex and keep him feeling kind of bad about themselves and not really seeing how Daddy thinks about them. Even though the word says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your emotions. And the only way you do that is because you know and believe the love he has for you. 1 John. So when you know and believe the love he has for you, then therefore you can love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, it's a reciprocating thing, but it starts with him. You let his love wash through you, and if you'll have enough guts to live there, he'll establish you in a place of, when you look in the mirror, you don't see blame. You don't see blemish. You see what his love sees, and that is holy and unblemished. And then from that place, because your life is hidden in him, because your identity is in him, your identity is not in what your mom told you, what your dad told you, what your uncle told you, what your brothers and sisters told you, what your neighbors told you, what your school kids told you. Your identity is not in any of that. Your identity is in what Daddy tells you, what he calls you, what he says you. You know, so you love people from that place, and because his love has caused you to be able to see you, look in the mirror, and you don't see blame, and you don't see blemish, you don't see deficiency, then all of a sudden that comes out of you and you begin to see everybody else, because everybody else is hidden in the same place you are. Their lives are hidden in. The only difference between you and somebody else is you found out and took ownership of it, and they just haven't done it. You say, well, how do they take ownership of it? Well, first of all, you just declare, Jesus, you're my Lord. There ain't nobody else. And he declared that if you recognize the fact that Daddy raised up him for you, you take ownership of it, he gives you a nature upgrade. You know, I got an iPhone. And I got, you know, it's one of those iPhones that it's not the top of the line iPhone, but you know what, I don't know any different. It's faster than what I had. So I got an operating system upgrade. So man needs an operation system upgrade. You take ownership and you say, Jesus, you're my Lord, because he's the only man that's God, right? He's got that place bookmarked for us. He's there. So he went ahead of us. He scaled the mountain ahead of us. He staked the claim, and then he extended that to everybody else that breathes. Says, this all belongs to you. Because really, from before the foundation of the world, man's identity was hidden in God. Paul, remember last week? Go back over to Galatians. Remember last week in Galatians? You know, I jokingly made a statement this morning about in Christ there's no Jew or Greek. But I want you to see something here. Because understand this, folks, the biggest tool for division of human beings on the planet, the biggest division that darkness uses to divide and separate, is to lock people into the identity they think they are in their natural man. That's how he divides people. If he can lock you into the identity that you think you are in your natural man, then he'll divide people and he'll conquer them. He'll cause strife, he'll cause division, he'll cause all that stuff. Paul made the statement in Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 27. He says, for all of you who are baptized into Christ, that means you, when he died, you died. You've taken ownership of it. And when he was raised, you were raised. So you're baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 talks about this. He says, you've clothed yourself with Christ. So he's your identity. Because after all, before there was a fall, your life was hidden in him anyway, right? I hope this just blows your mind. Before there ever was a fall, your life was hidden in him. So why in the world, if Jesus took care of the fall, why in the world would you allow that to continually speak into your life as to who you are? When he doesn't even acknowledge that. Paul says, for you are baptized, those of you that are baptized into Christ, clothe yourself with Christ. Verse 28, therefore, there is neither Jew or Greek, there's neither slave or free, so economic conditions don't matter. In other writings, he says, you know what, don't you dare look down at your nose at somebody who has less than you. So economic issues are not a division. Your ethnic origin is not a division. Whether you're a male or a female is not a division. That goes real well in a lot of places. How many understand that in Best Life Church, I am the, I guess they use new terms nowadays. They don't use like senior pastor, they call them head pastors. I wonder if there's any tail pastors. I don't, whatever the phrase is nowadays. But how many understand that Shelby is just as much a pastor of this church as me? Those of you that doubt that, I'll be happy to give you the word from the Spirit of God that came from him to her. Didn't even tell me. So, we don't have an issue with male or female, because in Christ there is no difference. There's neither male or female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, go back to chapter 1, where Paul makes this statement. How many know Paul was Jewish? For those of you who didn't know, he was. Okay? And he said, in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, for you've heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for what? My ancestral traditions. I'm going to know he's just talking about his natural identity being put in the earth in a certain family being raised like that. Okay? He was zealous for his ancestral traditions. But notice what happened. But when God, who had set me apart from my mother's womb, actually, he set him apart. You should watch what I say there. He set him apart from the foundation of the world. Because man's identity was always hidden in God. But watch what Paul discovered. He says, but God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb, called me through his grace or through his presence and the working of his power. He was pleased to reveal his son in me. Now let me ask you a question. Where was man's identity before he was put into the earth? It was hidden in God. So when Jesus shows up and reveals, when Father revealed his son to Paul, Paul really got a revelation of who he really was. What happened? He revealed his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem. And he goes on to say about how, you know, what did he do with after he got this insight? But you notice what he did. He immediately made a choice. I have a superior identity that existed before the one I got when I was put into the earth. I'm going to choose that one. Did you hear what I just said? He said, I got, it's like daddy's son pulled back the curtain and he showed himself to me and he showed me in him. And I realized that I have a more true identity than what I'm walking in. And he chose that one. And so he says to the Colossian church, he says, if you've died and your life is hidden in him, and he was before all things, he was holy and unblemished. He was the holy and unblemished lamb. And Father made a choice before all things to see human beings in his presence as if through his son. So in 2 Corinthians 5, when he says the old is gone, the old system, the old way of seeing people, the old way of seeing people through what economic conditions have done to them, through what social conditions have done to them, through what anything natural that darkness has done to a human being, the old way of seeing those people, that's not the way we function anymore. Because the reality of before all of the stuff that has crushed people came into the earth, man had a different identity. And because of what Jesus did, if we're going to say that Jesus made all things right, then our perspective should rewind and go back to the way daddy saw people before the fall killed them, crushed them, disfigured them. Because Jesus was disfigured for the entire human race so that we would no longer see human beings from that place. You guys get anything out of this? Or okay, real quick, go to Titus chapter 3. So that's why, I mean, he says it here. In Galatians, let me just say this, and I said it last week, but if you weren't here last week, then, you know, the understanding in the mind of most everybody is diversity is good. I agree with that. But the problem with that, there's not a problem, but where that takes you over the ditch is when diversity begins to create division. It's not good. Because Paul told us by the Spirit of God that we're to guard the unity of the Spirit that is the body. So, as the church develops, we'll have a multitude of different diversities and ethnicities and all kinds of, we'll have all kinds of stuff. And that's totally awesome. Because I got news for you guys. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a whole bunch of folks you've never seen before. You don't think they're all going to be clear, do you? So we're not saying that there's no diversity. The fact is the word talks about there's, you know, every nation. Okay? But diversity is only as valuable to the degree that it doesn't violate and create division and strife, and it doesn't violate the unity of the Spirit and the body of Christ. Okay? So, what did I say? Titus chapter 3. So what does that look like? Well, this is a good verse, especially in the light of all the stuff that's happened recently. Titus chapter 3, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one. Everybody say no one. Look, if you just can't not live here or not say something, then why don't you deal with mindsets, not people? Right? Let's deal with mindsets and the way and thought processes and not people. So he says, malign no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for Christians. Oh, sorry. All men. Thank you for bringing the correction. So, every consideration for all men, for we were once all foolish ourselves. Now, go one verse and we're done. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's amazing that all this stuff is in the Word. Chapter 2, and look at look at verse 17. First Peter chapter 2 verse 17 says, honor all of our Christian leaders. Oh. Honor all people and love the brotherhood. So there's the Christians. Reverence God and honor the King. Now I want you to think about this. We forget about this. Do you know who the rulers were in his day? I don't care how bad leadership is, they weren't this bad. And yet he turns around and says, honor all people and honor the King. You know how we can do that? You know how we can influence more folks? Because you just choose to see them in the identity that they have in God before the work of Jesus. I mean, after the work of Jesus, excuse me. Before the fall and after the work of Jesus, because he restored things back together. Do you get that? So if we can make a choice to see people the way Daddy sees people, and we don't allow the natural situations like economic things, anything else that would cause division, when we start to show consideration for all men and we begin to honor people, I challenge you this week to do this. Find a business, go into that business, and buy something. And then when you go to the counter to pay for that, strike up a conversation with the person behind the counter and just find out about the business. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, if it's locally owned, that'd be even better. You know, Shelby told this morning about one we went into. We're not done with our interaction with that place, because I believe God wants to do some things there. But bless the business. And then if the owner's there, tell the person, you know, I'm going to be praying for the blessing of the Lord on this business, because I want you to be prosperous in this city. And watch his mouth fall open. Because people aren't, what? You're gonna do what? You're gonna pray? Oh, you're one of those Christians? You want me to prosper? And if you want to go one step farther and say, oh, you know, just out of curiosity, you got anything going on in your body that you want prayer for? You know, if you want to pursue it that, but if you don't want to pursue it that far, whatever, you can at least tell them, hey, I'm gonna pray for the prosperity of your business. Because God wants to bless you. He wants you blessed. Because he thinks you're the most amazing human being. And see what happens. See what your level of influence goes to. Because Christians have this reputation of always being the ones that curse the darkness. When we somehow forgot those verses to show all consideration for all men and to honor people, we thought we were called to bring dishonor upon you. We weren't. Jesus said, for this reason you've been called to bring a blessing. So I challenge you in the next month, see how many people you can speak into their life, lift them up, show them honor, and pray the blessing of God on their life, and see what kind of doors fly open for you to speak further in their life in other areas. Amen? Let's make a choice to have a culture that we just refuse to see deficiency of people. Amen? All right, stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you. We love you. We just thank you for your word, and we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your continued fellowship and your wisdom. And I just thank you for continual insight into the way you think. Because we really are interested in that. We want to think like you. And we want to have the compassion towards the people that you highlight to us, so they really know how good you are. And I thank you, Jesus, that we are committed to you establishing that kind of culture in our midst. Because people are awesome. They're made in your image. And you didn't die for trash. So we just thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for increased, expanded influence in our sphere of influences around us, because your presence is on the inside of us. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for a continued peace and a release of the kingdom of God and the power of God through us in our midst and towards people that really come to know you as good as you are. Every single person in this place, if there's anything going on in your physical body, we just speak to that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus and tell you, you can't live. You can't live in the temple of God. So you might as well just pack it up and go. It's because you got no place in the temple of Jesus. The Spirit of God that raised him from the dead dwells in you. And you will not cohabit with him. So we thank you for that. We thank you for every joints, freedom in the joints, pain free. We thank you. Every stomach issue has to leave and be set and be made right, and pain you have to go right now. Because we're representatives of the King. Our lives are hidden in him. And he's totally set us free. Everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.